So today, we're going to continue on our study in the book of Philippians. And so we're going to go through one verse today. And so if you have your Bibles open, turn to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to do verse 19. And so on the screen, you'll have the New American Standard as well as the Message translation. So Philippians 1:19 says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." And here's the Message translation. It says, "And I'm going to keep that celebration going because I know how it's going to turn out. Through your faithful prayers and the generous response of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, everything he wants to do in and through me will be done. I can hardly wait to continue on my course." Amen. Let's pray. Thank you. Father, we thank you, God, for just what Pastor Chris said early in the service, Lord, just the privilege of gathering together, God, to seek your face, Lord, to worship you, to give, God, to learn, God, to sit at your feet, God, and to do it together with brothers and sisters, Lord. It is a privilege, God, that we get to enjoy here in Hong Kong, Lord. Help us not to ever take that for granted, Lord. And so we thank you. We thank you for all the servants, God, that have worked so diligently, God, to make sure that we can come to this place to sing, Lord, that the sanctuary is comfortable, God, that it's clean, Lord, and so many people, God, are a part of this service, Lord. And so we give you incredible thanksgiving for that, Lord. But now, Lord, we come humbly before you to your word, and we ask you to speak to us through it, God. To that end, we ask you or not to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but convey your heart. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Okay, so Philippians 1:19. And so if you, a little review of this story. So Paul is shut away. He's in prison. Most likely he's in house arrest during this time. But house arrest is not like for some of us that have gone through quarantine, that you're not in your home, your big or small home with all your necessities and all your luxuries around you and hold out. This was not a very pleasant dwelling. There's actually, if you go to Rome and certain places where they think that he may have been holed out, there's actually some tours that you can go to. And a friend of mine went, and one of these places that they consider possibly the place where Paul was in house arrest. And the person was telling me that there's barely enough room for two people in this place. And so it was not like a quarantine that we go through. It was a very, very difficult situation. And so he's sitting in prison all alone, shut away from the world. And he's chained to a Praetorian guard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But yet, in his letter to the Philippians, he said that, and he proclaimed that he was filled with joy. He said he would continually rejoice in this. Obviously, his circumstances have not changed. There's an upcoming trial at the hands of Caesar Nero, which was one of the most wicked emperors that the Roman Empire had ever known. And he's going to come before him. His future was uncertain. It was daunting. And quite frankly, it was very, very gloomy. He knew that he could be executed. And we see this, and we'll talk about more next week and the week after when we share more of what Paul is saying to the church in Philippi. Yet, in the midst of all this, being chained to a guard 24 hours a day, being uncertain about his future, all different kinds of things happen, yet Paul had this incredible confidence. Why? Why in his circumstance, in his situation, in his condition, why would Paul have so much confidence in God to do what he was going to do through his life? And it was really simple. And this is really the message I want to share with you today, is because he knew that his God was in control. And he knew that he had access to God's resources. Say resources. This is important. We all need resources. We need resource. We need support. We need people come alongside of us. It is so important that we recognize there is a supply out there that's made readily available for us. Early on in SP, this is early on. You know, we're hitting 18 years as a church. And early on, our small body believers, I think at this time, we're maybe about 30 people. And even though we're a small church, we were doing a lot of missions. We're going out on a lot of trips. Going all over the world, particularly Asia. Just every holiday, it seemed like we were doing something. We're going out. We're doing some local ministry, but primarily our missions was overseas. And obviously, that takes funds. And I remember in the midst of that time, that there were two brothers, early church brothers. One actually still is part of our church here. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I want to preserve their reward in heaven in this way. And so, but two brothers came up to me, and in the midst of all our missions and endeavors and things we were trying to do as a church, they two brothers came to me and said, "P-San, can I talk to you?" And so we had a conversation, two separate conversations, and said, "P-San, if you ever need anything, I mean, if you need anything, and I'm talking about personally, if you need anything, but especially for missions, let me know, and I will help." And it was you know, as a young church, a handful of people, knowing that I've got these two brothers kind of in my back pocket, you know? Like, if we ever ran into a situation as a church, or if there was ever a real need that we had, you know, particularly about missions, you know, and they said, it says, "Hey, you let P-Sam, I want you to know that I'm there and that I'm going to help out, whatever it is." And, you know, and all, over all these years, I've gone to these people many, many times in different missions. I've never gone to them personally, right, just so you know, there's nothing personal. But when I came to church and missions, and I said, "Hey, you know, so-and-so, could you help out?" You know, okay, I don't know if I should share this part of it, but crazy enough, one of those guys never came through. You know, it kind of happens with human nature, right? You know, you ask him, like, "Well, I don't," you know. But one of the other brothers, man, he came through every single time. He was a resource. He was someone that I could confidently go to, and I could confidently count on. And it's happened over and over and over and over again. And it's been, as a pastor, such an incredible blessing that, you know, one of the things that we always say as a church is that we are not dictated by finances. We're dictated by vision, right? If it's God's vision, right, he will provide the finances. You heard this, right? If it's God's will, it's God's bill. And so we see, you know, how these things manifest. But it is just such a blessing. There's such great joy, and as a leader, such great relief that there was someone that was a dependable resource at the disposal of our church. And this is what Paul is talking about. He's having great confidence because he knows that there are these resources that are available to him. Brothers and sisters, when we face difficulty, we could very easily become helpless, we could become hopeless, and we can become depressed. Paul could have very easily succumbed to any of these feelings and his emotions given the circumstances that he was under, but he chose not to. He chose not to walk in hopelessness, not to walk in helplessness, or in depression. He knew that he had resources at his disposal. Say resources again. So, all right, P-Sam, what were his resources? What were these things that he could really rely on that gave him hope in the midst of particularly could be a hopeless time? But he says it in this passage. I'm going to reverse the order of this passage. I know it says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance." I'm going to talk about that at the end, right? And I'm going to talk about through your prayers and provision of the Spirit of God. So what were the resources? Well, I just said it right there. The resources were the prayers of the Philippian church and the Holy Spirit. He could be confident. He can walk in joy because he knew that he had the resources of the prayers of God's people, but also the resource, really, the resource of heaven, which is the Holy Spirit. So, again, I only have 2 points today, okay? Really simple. Well, my second point has 2 other points, so I have to be honest, but it's really quick. So, number one, really simple. What was it? He had the resources or the resource of their prayers. The resource of their prayers. Now, of course, Paul was a man of prayer. And of course, Paul prayed himself. Of course, he did this. But Paul also emphasized throughout his letters the value of other people's prayers. He spoke on it, he wrote on it over and over and over again. This was a common theme in his ministry. I'll just throw a bunch out here before. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 10-11, he says, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us, you also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Philemon 22, there's only one chapter. He says, at the same time also, prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers, I will be given to you. Romans chapter 15, 30-31, it says, now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints. You see that Paul, he was a man of prayer, but he greatly relied on the prayers of God's people. He says simply, brothers, sisters, please pray for me. He says, I'm in great trouble, I'm in great distress, I'm in great peril, but I will be rescued from that prayer or from that peril by your prayers. And we see that Paul recognized there was this great resource that was out there, which is the prayers of the saints. This is so important. This is why Paul could have joy, because he knew the Philippians were praying for him. Notice Paul relied on the prayers of the saints to pray for effectiveness in ministry, that the gospel may be preached powerfully, for deliverance from peril, from deliverance from evil men, for rescue, and even for safe passage so he could see them again. And Paul says all these things could be accomplished by the prayers of God's people. It's powerful. I don't know if you've ever heard this story. I hope it's true. This is a powerful story. But I've heard it in kind of different forms, and so I want to believe that it's a true story. But there's this story of this African missionary. He was a doctor, and he had to go on quite a long trip to get supplies for his mission base. And so as he's going to get these supplies, he's basically needs to spend one night overnight as part of this trip. So he's carrying all his money for these medical supplies. And so he's on his way over there, and he sleeps. He has a good trip. He gets to his post. He ends up preaching a message during this time. And there happens to be an African man there who ends up going to this service and recognizing this man. And after the service, he comes and tells this missionary this story. And he says, and this is his story, he says, I saw you, a few nights ago. You were camping out at this place. My friends and I, we intended to rob you and kill you for the money that you had. But when we got there to try to assault you, we saw 26 armed guards surrounding you. And so we didn't do that. And that experience so shook my life, I basically came to church. And he hears his story. So now this missionary is back in Michigan now, and he's telling this story to people about what happened to him, relaying what this African guy said. And as he's sharing this testimony, a man stands up in the church, and he asks the question, and this is probably not appropriate, so please don't do that while I'm preaching, okay? But this man stands up and he says, "What day was that this happened?" And so the man recounts that it was this day at this time. And the guy's face gets white. And he says, "You wouldn't believe this." He said, "That morning, I went to go play golf. And while I was on the course, I had such a strong impression to pray for you. And that impression was so strong, I called up my men's group at church and had a bunch of men pray for you." And then he asked this question. He turned to the congregation. He says, "Men, you guys have prayed for so-and-so. Stand up right now." Because he was so curious. And then they stood up. And the missionary, he wasn't so concerned with who they were. He was concerned with how many there were. And he looked in the congregation. He counts. 1, 2, 3. You know what I counted? 26 people. 26 men had in that moment had prayed. And then, I don't know how this works, but their angel showed up or something, and God brought 26 angels, surrounded this missionary so that he could be saved. There is something, brothers and sisters, there is something about the prayer of God's people. A lot of times we may not necessarily see, so vividly like this missionary had experienced, but I'm telling you, the prayers of God's people are powerful. They are powerful. Our prayers, and when you pray for others, there's not only there's something of you that goes out there, but there is the power of God that flows through you. Who knows? You could be sending your angel or your guardian angel or, however this whole thing works that happens. It's amazing. And you can see why that now Paul, sitting in jail, can say, "I rejoice." Why? Because through your prayers, through the prayers of the Philippian church. This is my own, personal testimony, right? I mean, that as a church, we're going through a difficult season, right? There's things happening around us. I want you to know, this is from the bottom of my heart. This is me, my wife. I want you to know that we have been sustained by the prayers of God's people. And I can tell you almost on a daily basis and through emails, especially through WhatsApp. I mean, praise God for WhatsApp, Signal and Messenger and all those things. But the text messages and that just quick notes and I have people that regularly check up on me. "Hey, P. Sam, how are you doing today?" "I'm doing good. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you." And I want you to know that as a pastor, as a person that may be going through difficult times, I want you to know how powerful that is. I want you to know, I want you to know how it sustains me. It sustains us in this time. And every time that's happened, that it's humbled us to no end, knowing that people care so much about us, but also in that same way, it's brought my wife and I so much joy, it's brought us so much comfort. And I can understand what Paul is saying. He's in a difficult situation, and he says, "But I can rejoice because of your prayers." Through your prayers. There's something so powerful about that. Every Sunday, after I finish preaching, I will go home usually. I'll grab something with my kids. I'll go home and I'll wait for an email. It happens every Sunday. And I know that she's listening right now. So, hey, hi, Juanita, right? And my spiritual mother will send me an email every single Sunday, and she'll basically tell me that I did a good job, right? Which is a great blessing, and stuff. And so, and then she'll share a little, you know, little here and there. It's like, oh, you know, this is good, and blah, 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 and things. But the part of that, what comforts me, what sustains me, is I know that even as I'm standing here right now, I know she's praying for me. And she is. She's right now, she's praying not only for me, for you as well, right? And she's praying for us. Doesn't that just give you joy? Doesn't that give you comfort? Some of you guys are going through tough times. People are praying for you. You know, we come out to early morning prayer, and we have quite a number of people that are battling cancer and going through all kinds of difficult situations. And just to know that your name is on the list, that's there, and people are praying for you, that's comforting. It gives us reason for joy. It gives us reason to have some strength in this place. The prayers of others are an amazing and powerful resource that we have in our lives. So, as a simple application, let's pray for someone this week. Let's pray for others this week. Let's intercede on their behalf. It does something. It's not just empty words. When it comes out of our heart, out of our being, and we earnestly pray this to God, it's not some magical incantation. You know, we're not animists. We don't believe in those type of things. But when it flows out of our heart and God's leading us and we pray these, there's power that happens. It's the prayers of God's people. And Paul says, I am so comforted. I am so strengthened. I know that I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get past this. Why? Through your prayers. That's why I rejoice. That's why that I'm filled with joy and there's comfort. It's because I know that you are praying. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, every time, every text message, right? Hey, Peace, Sam. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your family. I can't tell you how much comfort, joy, and I mean, just to be just quite frank, just the pleasure of God over just that simple little word. You may not think it's much, and when we pray for others, we may not think it's much, but you got to understand the effect that it has, not only in the spiritual, but even in the natural, that it brings great comfort and joy to the people that are receiving it. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. If you're praying for someone and you have been praying for someone, let them know. Just let them know. It does something to us. Let them know. It says, hey, you know what? I'm praying for you. And it's not an ego thing. It's not a show of like, look how spiritual I am. Come on. I mean, if you have that kind of attitude, don't do that, okay? But I know that we don't have that attitude. We're earnest saying, you know what? I'm praying for you. I'm covering. I'm praying for your marriage. You know, I'm praying for your job. I'm praying that you would have such an impact at your workplace. And I'm praying for your family. I know your mom is sick. I'm praying for your mom. You know, and let's encourage one another. Obviously, Paul, he must have got news that they were praying for him, right? Otherwise, he wouldn't know. And so they probably told him, hey, Paul, the church here in Philippi, we're covering you, bro. We're praying for you. And he says that's given me joy. It's done something to me. I feel something. I know I'm going to get through this through your prayers. It's powerful. The second resource, so the first one was the prayers of others. The second resource that he had was the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. See, when people face illness, when they face difficult circumstances or they face betrayal or these things, I've had many people come to me in difficult moments and they would say this to me, says, Peace, Sam, I was greatly strengthened because I knew that the church, I knew that people, I knew you and others were praying for me. And I've heard this so many times. Peace, Sam, I feel so strengthened in that way. Now, When you know people are praying for you, yes, there is great strength because you know that people care. You know that they're praying for you in that way. So there's strength that comes upon you. But I'm telling you, there is a deeper and a greater strength. And it isn't because people are praying. That's part of it. You know, this great, deep, deep strength, it comes because God answers their prayers. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Paul recognized this fact. Paul doesn't look on the prayers of the Philippians as a resource in itself, but he rejoices along with their prayers because through that has come the resource of heaven, which is the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Paul rejoiced that people were praying. That was amazing. It did give him some strength, but the real strength was that God answered their prayers. And primarily, the answer to those prayers came through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what he said? I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. Through your prayers and the provision, the resource of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's through the Spirit that comes into our lives. The prayers of the saints in Philippi had released the provision of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. There's something supernatural that flowed through. Strengthened by the prayers, yes, I'm encouraged. Oh, this is amazing. People are praying for me. But the real strength, the real fortitude comes when, honestly, God just answers those prayers. And the Holy Spirit is released in their lives. And so Paul talks about here in verse 19, the provision of the Holy Spirit. So let me talk about that for a moment. So I have just two sub-points, okay? What is the provision of the Spirit? This is my opinion, okay? Number one, really simple. The provision of the Spirit means that we are never on our own. To have the Holy Spirit with us means that you are never on your own. Matthew 28, verse 20, the Great Commission. At the end, he says very simply, he says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He says, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Not just at the end, but even now. In John 14, verse 16 and 17, Jesus says this. He says, "I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper," the advocate, the paraclete, "that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Christ, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." See, the provision of the Holy Spirit means that you are never, ever alone. The Spirit of truth abides. It means abide is remain. He's right next to you. And then Jesus says, in fact, actually, whole nother level, he is actually inside of you. Do you know that wherever you go, the Spirit is there? Because he's in you. You cannot escape. Even David, before the coming of the Spirit in the book of Acts, in his psalm, he said, "Where can I flee from thy presence? Where can I flee from thy Spirit? I go to the depths of Sheol, and you are there. I go to the heights, you are there." He says there's no place that he can go where his presence will not be there. Now, if that was true in Psalms, can you imagine how true it is after Pentecost, when it's been given to all flesh? In John 14, 23, he says, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, and he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode," make our home with him. The Spirit's going to be with us. The Father is going to be with us. The Son is going to be always with us. Jesus was promising his people that they would never be abandoned. that we would never have to cope on our own strength, that he would always be there and his power would always be there. When I was young, it seems quite amazing now, especially in light of the age that we're living in right now. When I was young, when I was roughly about 11, 12 years old, I was in the Boy Scouts. And I love the Boy Scouts. I love outdoor kind of things. And I remember one time our Boy Scout leader was really into guns. I mean, he really loved guns. You know, very typical, you know, white American, okay? And stuff. And so, that's white American, Republican, you know, you get the drift, right? And so, we go camping a lot, we do these things, but a lot of times we would actually, on weekends, he would take us out shooting. And we drive like an hour out, and he'd bring all of his guns, I mean, semi-automatic weapons. Man, I'm 11 years old. Like, you know, my daughter, actually Hannah, today's her birthday, she's 11 years old today. I can't ever imagine putting a semi-automatic into her arms. But 40 years ago, we did things differently, you know, back in those days. You know, remember 40 years ago, there wasn't seatbelts. Some of you guys old enough, you remember that. Like, seatbelts were like a luxury. Now it's mandatory, and it's a different time. And I remember going out to the field and with a semi-automatic and you know, shotguns and everything. And at first, like, you know, you're a boy, like, guns, oh. And then you shoot once, and then you're petrified. It's scary, man. The force that comes out, I almost knocked my shoulder out the first time. You know, I think we were shooting like a 30-odd 30, and I was like, my shoulder's like, pop. It was crazy. And so it's, you're doing a very dangerous thing, obviously as safe as you can. But, you know, the realization in the midst of that danger and just knowing that you have this power in your arms, but just having my scoutmaster and the assistant scoutmaster standing right next to you, making sure that you don't get hurt, you know, making sure that you're pointed the right direction, you know, and all these things, it gives you quite a bit of comfort in this way. And when I thought about this and, you know, think about it, just brought me back to that memory. It was one of the first times I remember as a little kid that I was like really, really scared. And at first I was really excited just to shoot guns, you know, just like most kids are. But once you took one shot, you're like, oh man, this is dangerous. And you just fill with fear. And then, you know, the thing is, because, you know, you're young and you got all these other friends out there. You don't want to show any fear, because then you don't want to look like a punk, you know, in front of all your other friends there and stuff. So you have to act tough, even though you're like scared to death inside. And in that moment, it's such a wonderful knowledge to know that my scoutmaster was right next to me. And that I didn't need to be afraid, that I wasn't going to make a mistake. I wasn't going to blow off my hand or, you know, anything like that, because he was there with us. And he was made sure that we were safe, made sure that we did it right, and that we, you know, had the proper training and the classes and all that stuff. And by the way, the shooting was for a merit badge. It wasn't like, you know, we were just shooting animals or something like that. It was actually a legitimate Boy Scout activity that was taking place. And that episode really speaks to me. And I wonder, as sometimes that we also get filled with fear. I wonder sometimes that we, and for whatever, sometimes we just can't show it to other people. Maybe so many people are relying on you. Maybe you're a dad here, and there's a situation at your home or something, and your kids are looking to you for strength, but you're petrified inside. And you have to show strength. You don't want them to get anxious and nervous. And so that's something that we have to do as dads and moms. And you guys know this as well. Or as leaders, as pastors. You know, it's the same reality as bosses. You know, your company is in difficult times. But you have to show strength. And you have to show a confidence, even though you're petrified inside. But as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, guess what? You're never alone. When you feel afraid, when you feel alone, you're never alone, because the Holy Spirit is not only abiding next to you, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. He is with you. Just close your eyes for a moment here. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. God says that over his people. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Just take a moment. Just breathe that in. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I just feel right now that some of you need to hear that. There's stuff going on. God wants you to know he is right next to you. He's not leaving you. He's not forsaking you. And he knows sometimes you have to show strength when you're afraid. The father says, son, daughter, I know, but I'm with you. I am for you. I'm not against you. You are mine. Well, let the words of Christ richly dwell in your hearts. Just take a deep breath in God. Amen. Right, knowing that the Spirit of Christ is always there will transform our life. He's always with you, friends. He's not only next to you, he is inside of you. And we're going to have moments in our life where we get afraid. You know, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is acting in spite of your fear. And God wants to give you courage. Right? Paul knew that he was never alone. He knew he had the provision of the Spirit. And that provision meant that he was never alone. The second thing, what that meant, the provision of the Spirit means that also that we have the power for the impossible. Thanks, Pastor Chris, for the song choices. Hey, look, listen, I want to tell you guys, all the worship leaders that are here right now, you guys that are choosing songs and through this time, I want you to know it's been amazing. I mean, it's been absolutely amazing. There's so many times that I've preached afterwards and through the worship set, but especially the response song. And like, I turned back and I said, that was the most perfect response song that I could ever think of. It's almost, sometimes it's almost as if God wrote that song, or, you know, that song was written right on the spot, you know, for us in light of what's happening with our church, in light of the message and these things. And I mean, I just want to encourage all the worship leaders here that, man, you guys are really hearing from the Lord. You know, I mean, really, you guys are really hearing from God. I've been so encouraged. You know, I mean, to be honest, I kind of like after the sermon, I kind of wonder, okay, I wonder what these guys are going to sing. You know, like, is it going to be on target, you know, or is it going to be out of left field? I don't know. But man, you know, I'm not testing you guys or anything like that, right? But man, it has been such an awesome, awesome privilege to worship and sing along with you leaders in your song selection. For many of us who are not really a part of worship and stuff, you don't know how difficult that is, right? And it takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of spending time with God and hearing in the Spirit. And I want you to know the worship leaders, was it Chris, Jung, right? Wesley, P. Nate, Matt. Oh, can't forget Matt. Well, you have so many good friends, Matt. Don't forget Matt, right? And stuff. And man, you guys are really listening. I'm seriously, you guys are really listening to the Spirit. Can we just give a clap offering, right? I'm in such an encouraging mood this morning, right? It's amazing. So, but it's you know, and like I said, the provision of the Spirit means we have the power for the impossible. I can do anything I can do all things because it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. It's just perfect. See, by the Spirit of God, He illuminates our thinking. He strengthens our bodies. He puts hope in our spirit. He gives courage to our being. And He opens our eyes to things, great things that are coming ahead of us. The Spirit of God is enlightening, it's empowering, and it's enabling. By the way, I almost preached a whole nother message here just using those three words, but I chose not to bless you guys, or else it's another 30 minutes in this way. But that's the whole thing. We can now do things that we could never do on our own strength. When he says the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what Paul recognized is now he has access, he has the resource to do the impossible. He has the resource to do what he cannot do in his own strength. In his own strength, he cannot have joy while he's in prison. But because the Spirit of God is there, because the Spirit of Jesus Christ who's in him, who's never left him alone there in prison or wherever he's been, gives him the strength to do what he can do. This is what he says, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do anything because he gives me the strength through him, through the Spirit. See, Paul was an overcomer. He faced so many difficult circumstances, but he could get through them not by his own strength, but by the Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. This power, this might is available to the believer because this is who the Holy Spirit is. He is the power of God. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit which dwells in you. Because the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, that means the same Spirit. I mean, can you imagine the resurrection power, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead? And Paul says, guess what? That power lives inside of you, inside of each one of us. Just say this to yourself. Just touch your heart or whatever. I was about to say touch yourself, but that doesn't sound appropriate, right? But just, you know, place your heart and just say, I am a power station. I'm a vessel of the power of God. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of me. Do you know how incredible that is? You have access to the power of God. You are a powerful power station. You are a powerful woman and man of God. Not out of our own strength. We don't have much in our own strength. But because the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives inside of you and lives inside of me. Because the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, we have the resources of heaven. And we have access to the impossible. He can do the impossible through us. In that way. That's why he had joy. So let me go back. Let me go to the beginning of the verse. And I'm going to close with this. And he says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. The word deliverance is the word soteria, which is deliverance. It's also the word for salvation. Even though we know that Paul is not talking about his eternal salvation here, he already has that. He's talking about deliverance from prison, potentially, but he's talking about a freedom that he's experiencing some way, even though he may still be in prison. this safety, this preservation, this confidence that he has in this way. And it's a powerful thing. Now, listen, I'm gonna share something with you guys today. And let me just be very clear. I'm not saying that I'm the Apostle Paul, okay? You know, I'm not saying anything like that, so don't get any, you know, weird thoughts in your head. But this is just my personal testimony. This is something that happened to me. And it's kind of like, you know, what the apostles just simply said. It says, hey, you know, we can only teach. We can only talk about what we've seen and heard. And so this is my story. And so when we talk about this, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. And through the course of all that's been going on, people ask me, Pisa, how are you doing? You know, like they want to know, like, what is God saying to you in the midst of this time? Like what is God doing to you, you know, when things are so crazy? And I guess the best way I could explain this is to share a moment that I had. So many months ago, you know, we had our All Sons meeting. And so we're all gathered here. We're getting news of what's going on. Some people had finally, you know, saw some of the documents, and we're going through different things. And, you know, a lot of different questions, a lot of different ideas, a lot of accusations. You know, a lot of things were happening. And I'm sitting in the front row, right over here. I'm sitting in the front row. I have my wife next to me. And you know, and I'm going through the meeting. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going on. I mean, the church could turn on me. Who knows, right? Everything is up in the air, and so I come with fear and trepidation. This is just this honesty. And so I come to this place, and I'm sitting there. I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm sitting there, and you gotta recognize this insane situation. I'm sitting there with my wife, and which, you know, has brought me great, great comfort. You know, throughout this whole time. I mean, in fact, if you know, like most of us that are married, we would like to think that our wives have our back. Like you know, I mean, you're sitting next to your spouse, right? Just look at them. It says, you know, you would like to think they have your back. You know, they do. Okay, but you never know. Until you go through something. You never know until you go through something. My wife and I, we went through something. My wife got my back, man. In fact, she kicked my butt many times in this whole process. She's been the rock, in case. And so I'm sitting there with my wife. You know, on the screen are all the claims. 7 claims are all laid out there, right? I'm sitting behind me, there's like, you know, 100-some people in the sanctuary, and I know they're thinking all different kinds of thoughts. There's another 150 people, right, on Zoom as well. And everyone's, you know, some people are angry, all these things are going on. And this is just my experience, okay? I'm sitting there, and it was surreal. I've had moments in my life, and I've had very, very strong, particular moments in my life where I felt the presence of God. I mean, I was in the presence of the Lord. So strong. I want to tell you, when I'm sitting in that chair during the All Sons meeting, that was one of the most powerful moments where I felt the presence. You know how I've always, you know, in the whole sonship teaching, and I know that the whole series is being scrutinized in these things, you know, one of the things I've always said was I just feel, and not only feel, I know that I'm God's favorite son. I've said that. You've heard me say it many, many times. I believe it with all my heart. You know, and it's I'm not saying I'm better than you or anything like, because the reality is every single one of you should also feel that you are God's favorite child. That's just a biblical reality, covenantal nomism, right? We know that God loves us. And so I'm sitting there, and you know what? I'm like, there's all these different, my thoughts, my brain is going all over the place. There's all different thoughts. There's all different things coming to me, and, you know, all different things I've heard over the weeks and these things. But I'm sitting there, and you know what I'm feeling more than anything else? I'm God's favorite son. Doesn't matter what's going on around me. I know who my father is. I know who I am. And I'm sitting there, I'm God's favorite son. And just the presence of God that just emanates through this whole thing. The presence of God that just, you know, and you probably, you couldn't see me, right? Because I'm sitting in the front row. But I had a half smile on my face most of the time throughout this time. Because God's going to work this for good. Right? God's going to work this. He's going to do something glorious through this. And it was such a unique, powerful experience. I've shared this with a few of you guys, you know, in the past in some conversations. It was such a poignant moment. And even though, you know, the outcome was in, you know, kind of up in the air, at that moment I knew we're going to get through this and we're going to be better because of this. I've heard people say that to me throughout. I didn't, you know, to be honest, I didn't really believe it, you know. And people share those simple words throughout the time. But after this, I knew because God was with us. God loves this house, right? God loves this church. God loves you. God loves me. God loves all of us in this place. And God always wants the best. And so I can, you know, when I look at this passage, and by the way, one of my good friends actually gave me this passage this week and says, I've been praying for you, and this is just the word of the Lord that I get for you. And he did not even know I was preaching on this Sunday. And it just gave me even more confirmation. He said, Sam, you got to know that this will turn out for your deliverance, right? And, you know, the presence of God, you know, all these things that I'm sharing is powerful. It's powerful. I knew, even in that moment, and you know, you could say in one of my darkest hours, right, God was with us. He was there. He enabled us. He gave us the presence of God, the power of the Spirit to lead us through this thing. And I can say confidently, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance, for our deliverance as a church. Philippians 1:19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's close our eyes. Let's invite the team to come. I don't know what you're going through today, but if my own testimony is any help to you, you're going to get through it. David says in the psalm, for though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Why? Because he says, because you are with me. My prayer for you, my prayer for the church today, is that no matter what you're going through, you'd have a great sense that God is with you. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that you would know that he's with you. And you're going to get through it. I hope that this is your proclamation. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. I will become freer because of this. You know, the passage that has really spoken to me a lot during this season was actually in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And remember, they were thrown into the fiery furnace, but they went into the furnace bound. But in the fire, they were freed. Their chains, their ropes were done with. Why? Because Jesus was with them in that place. God is refining us through the fire. He is cleaning, repairing chinks in the armor. I don't want to spiritualize all these different things, but remember the beginning when we talked about, you know, our God is a God of order. And way in the beginning I said, what's been speaking to me, it says God is sad. You know, in the last few months, you know what's been encouraging me? It's the other end. It says God of ER. Okay, I don't want to spiritualize everything, okay? But it's been, I mean, every time I'm sitting here, I look over it, it's been really encouraging me. Because he's the God who heals. He's the God of the emergency room. That's just what he does. And he's really good at it. He's going to heal us. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And I don't know what you're going through these days. But no matter what you're going through, you need to know that he is with you. And when he is with you, it's not just his presence, it's his power is also with you. And so as the team leads us, let's just receive from the Lord. Let's receive the knowledge from on high that God is with you. God has not left you nor abandoned you. The provision of the Spirit is there. And I hope that you could just feel the prayers of the saints. The prayers during EMP. The prayers that the pastors pray over you. I hope you could feel that and sense that today. Go ahead, Chris.
Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. My whole life I place in your hands, God of mercy.
But as we pray and as we sing, Let's pray for one another, can we? Let's apply what I've been talking about. If you are here today and you're going through something, we don't need to know what you're going through. But maybe like the song says that you're asking for rescue. You're saying, God, you got to do something. And we want you to know that we love you and that we're here with you. And we're going to storm the heavenlies on your behalf. And if that's you, just raise your hand in the air. Just be a little vulnerable today. And say, man, I'm asking God for something. There's something going on in my life right now. I just leave them up in the air, nice and high. All right, church, you know what you do. Right, your prayers are powerful. Let's move around. Let's find people with their hands raised. And let's just lay hands on their shoulder or their back or something. And let's storm the heavenlies. Let's intercede for them. It's over here, James in the front. I see some other hands. Can we turn the light on a little bit more in the sanctuary? Let's do that. The team's going to lead us. Let's pray. Let's pray for one another. And as soon as you feel that hand on you, you can just put your hand down. Remember, your prayers are powerful. Is there anyone whose hand's raised that needs... No one's come to you yet. Let's pray. Go ahead, Wesley, lead us. Let's pray. Let's storm the heavenlies. Thank you, Jesus.
Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. Yeah.
Jesus is in our life, God. Wherever we are, you are also there. I pray that my brothers and sisters, especially those that are going through stuff, they would know that you are with them, that you've not left them, you've not forsaken them, that they belong to you, that you are for them and not against them, God, and that you are there. You are our very present help in our time of need. Thank you, God. Lord, continue to encourage the church to pray, especially to pray for others, because it is powerful, God. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hey, if you pray for someone, pray for that person for the rest of this week. All right, let's do a little something. If you need any prayer, come over to the front. Our well ministers will gladly pray for you guys. Thank you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sabbath. God bless. Over here, James in the front. I see some other hands. Can we turn the light on a little bit more in the sanctuary? Let's do that. The team's going to lead us. Let's pray. Let's pray for one another. And as soon as you feel that hand on you, you can just put your hand down. Remember, your prayers are powerful. Is there anyone whose hand's raised that needs? No one's come to you yet. Let's pray. Go ahead, Wesley, lead us. Let's pray. Let's storm the heavenlies. Thank you, Jesus.
Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. Lord,
Jesus is in our life, God. Wherever we are, you are also there. I pray that my brothers and sisters, especially those that are going through stuff, they would know that you are with them, that you've not left them, you've not forsaken them, that they belong to you, that you are for them and not against them, God, and that you are there. You are our very present help in our time of need. Thank you, God. Lord, continue to encourage the church to pray, especially to pray for others, because it is powerful, God. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord causes face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hey, if you pray for someone, pray for that person for the rest of this week. All right, let's do a little something. If you need any prayer, come to the front. Our well ministers will gladly pray for you guys. Thank you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sabbath. God bless.